Well, it's that time of year again. The time when otherwise smart, capable adults are seen crawling around on their hands and knees in their front yards. Or they're seen leaning over, rear ends facing up, plucking the dandelions out of their lawns, plant by plant. Normally, these people are upstanding and responsible members of their community, but during dandelion season, they become obsessed with this weedy little flower, determined to extinguish it from their yards for the season, if not forever. By the sounds in this room, I would imagine some of you might find yourself in that group. Now, while I have been known to execute every dandelion plant in my vegetable garden with vigor, I stopped digging dandelions out of my front yard a few years ago on the day when I was crawling around on my hands and knees, and I pulled up one whole plant. Roots and leaves and lovely little yellow flowers in one hand, and I looked up and I saw another plant that had just gone to seed. It was fluffy with them, released the seeds merrily right in front of my face as they drifted across my lawn and into my neighbor's yard. I decided right at that moment that my life is just too short to worry about dandelions anymore. Cottonwood trees are the same independent creatures. We don't have cottonwoods in the deep south, didn't grow up with them, so I'm fascinated with this time of year, watching the thousands, really maybe millions, of fluffy white wads of cotton that float through our Minnesota air this time of year. They definitely make me sneeze. I've got it in my eyes right now. But I just love them. They're merry, merry plants. Dandelions and cottonwoods are just a couple of God's creation that show outwardly and visibly and brazenly that they will go wherever they want to go, quietly, gently, persistently, and we simply cannot control them. On this Pentecost, we have been given in our readings two views of the Holy Spirit. John's description of the Holy Spirit always makes me think of the dandelion and cottonwood seeds quietly traveling gently into our lives and out into the life of the world. The Spirit with us since before the beginning of time, before God's creation that is then returned to us after Jesus' ascension. Jesus describes the arrival of this Spirit, which he calls the Advocate. He describes it in pastoral terms, pastoral love for his disciples and thus for us. Jesus says he will not leave us comfortless, because the Holy Spirit will remind us of all that he taught and did. The Spirit will remind us of the peace of Christ, and we should not be troubled. We should never be afraid. Like the dandelions in the spring, which go where the wind carries them, and plants new plants despite our wishes for green and unblemished lawns, the Spirit is untethered. And it will go where God wishes for it to go, persistently, relentlessly. It will appear as new growth in the most unexpected of places. Where do you see this aspect of the Holy Spirit in your lives? I experience the Holy Spirit the way that John describes it through Christ, when I am in hospital rooms with people, when I find myself at the bedside of those who are journeying out of this world and into the next world, I see it active when two people who are seeking healing and reconciliation and forgiveness meet and begin to talk. I experience it almost every Monday at 5:15 when many of us gather here in this holy space to take part in our healing service. I see it and hear it and experience it when I sit and talk and laugh and pray with our prayer posse, or when I visit the Sunday school rooms full of wiggly children, and now in the Oasis Garden. Earlier this week, I looked outside, and every chair and every bench was full of somebody, a crowd, seeking quiet and solace and sunshine in that holy space. I know that Holy Spirit is present when somebody quietly and faithfully finds their ministry at Calvary and just gets about doing it. This way of the Holy Spirit, the dandelion way, is personal to us. It is healing and peaceful in the Spirit's persistent way of nudging our attention to God's presence in our lives and in the lives of those we love. It's there when we meet a stranger's eyes and we both smile, when we find time for our self-care, or when we find time to sit and just be present with somebody we love, a time to listen, to care, just to love. The Holy Spirit, in her gentleness, guides us at the crossroads of our lives and journeys with us through all of the twists and turns of life ahead. Because bidden or not bidden, the Holy Spirit is present. Jesus tells us that this is the Spirit of truth. It gives us the courage to be truly who we are and to speak to one another in truth and to be vulnerable and at our best. But in the Acts of the Apostles, Luke describes a very different way of the Holy Spirit's behavior. Here, the Holy Spirit is ushered in by loud noise and a violent wind and fire. The Holy Spirit sets the apostles on fire. That's what it means when a flame appears over their head. They are on fire with God's gospel. Everybody was gathered in Jerusalem that day. Luke's list of those who were present tells us that everybody who was living was present. This was God's guest list for the witnessing of the fire and the wind and the drama of the Holy Spirit. This was God's guest list for the moment when God breathed into the world once again and gave Peter the courage to stand up and become a preacher, told the people that it was time for young people to have visions and change the world with their creativity, time for the old people to dream dreams of what could be. This is the Holy Spirit that is public, that is for every person. No matter who we are or where we're from, the Holy Spirit that inspires people to speak truth to power, to prophesy, to ignite all the great movements of our world, the civil rights movement, women's rights, gay, lesbian, transgender people's rights, the care of God's creation, the movement that is happening under our very feet to stop climate change. This is the Holy Spirit who burns fiercely and cleanly in unexpected places and who is no respecter of the status quo. This is the Spirit that inspires poets and composers and artists to do their work, that changes everything towards God's dream of what creation can be. Where do you see this aspect of the Holy Spirit in your lives? I see it when a movement catches fire and starts rippling through this community, like the work of the Sacred Circle and Cooking with Joy. I feel the Holy Spirit every time the Motet Choir sings. Oh, by the way, they wear red all year, not just on Pentecost. There's got to be some meaning behind that, right? I feel this Holy Spirit's characteristic when God's way of love burns in us so much that we cannot help but share it. When walls and boundaries fall, when God's table is full of people reaching for Christ's body and Christ's blood, and when the collective breath of the people of Calvary join with the breath of God, and we say, yes, God, we will go out and do the work you have given us to do. That is the Holy Spirit's presence when a baby cries, when a toddler comments on our service, and when teenagers sit at the table with our wisdom keepers. Because bidden or not bidden, the Holy Spirit is present. So happy Pentecost, y'all. Happy birthday to the church. Now let's get on with the dandelions and the fire, and let's be the people of God. Amen.